Small World of Dominic Holland, starring Dominic Holland.
Thank you very much, new folks. You're all very welcome. Thank you for coming. Tonight's show is going to be about our leisure time. Leisure time is basically where you earn money to spend money on things that you enjoy. Unless, of course, you're a parent, when you earn money to employ people to look after your kids, allowing the parents to do nothing. We went to Tenerife with our three young kids, okay, and we thought about bringing nappies, but we thought no, because they're big and bulky, don't want to carry them on the plane, we'll buy them there. That makes sense, doesn't it? This is true. At the resort we went to, they were charging £1 a nappy. Now, not tight, but you start to resent your kids eating. All the kids' menus were like prunes, alpen, banana. You start saying things like, well, how dirty is he? We'll just put him outside, he'll dry off. We could give him a scrape. We did some maths, right? We actually worked it out in the end. It worked out cheaper to wipe the kids' asses with pesetas. It's a bizarre feeling saying to your wife, he's done a poo, passes my wallet. And giving it a good old wipe, going in the bar to San Miguel's. And there's your shitty money back. But we flew there, okay, and I like flying. I think flying's fantastic fun. A lot of comedians slag flying off. I think that's a bit banal. Comedians say, oh, the food's crap, isn't it? It's not crap, is it, on the plane? If the food is so bad on a plane, how come you look forward to it so much? That's the best part of a flight. I'll tell you a stressful time on a plane is when you're on a flight and you're not sure if you're going to get food. You sit there and think, do you think we'll get food? I hope so, definitely, I hope so. How long's the flight? 2 hours. Oh, that's a bit iffy. 2 hours. So we should at least get a sandwich. Then you hear that chink of cutlery. Oh, yes. Everyone has food, even someone who's just had a massive Burger King at the airport. Do you want food? I think so. People go to sleep. Wake me up for the food. Don't let me miss the food. But your leisure time depends on what you do for a living to see how much money you earn and how much free time you get. So consider this, folks, for an easy job. No one has got an easier job than this. Watch any live match on telly. It's got to be a live match, right? At the end of the football match, have the credits to the programme, they'll have editor. This is a live match on telly. Editor. What a fantastic job that must be. He must have turned up at work and go, right, show it all. That's it, I'm off, I'm knackered. The best bit is, though, they also have an assistant editor. Like, what's his job? Good decision, boss. Do you want a coffee? You must be knackered. His job is to work out the highlights of the match. How stressful could that be? When you're having a coffee, do you think he's in his studio? Go, don't push me. Don't push me on this one, all right? I make my own mind up, okay? Right, I've got it. Go with the goals. This guy's good. Of course, sport is a big part of our leisure time, isn't it? And we're not England. It's difficult, you know, if you're English or British, to follow sport recently. I mean, the Euro 2000 was embarrassing, wasn't it? Like tennis as well. Did you want Henman to win this year? Did you think he could win? Anyone think he could win?
No.
It's amazing English, isn't it? No. Sampras and the Williams sisters dominated Wimbledon. American kids win Wimbledon because they've got a demeanour that we haven't got. American kids are watching Wimbledon at home. On the telly. Go, Mum, get in here now. Come on, Mum. I'm watching Wimbledon. I have seen my destiny, Ma. Mum comes running in. Ma, I'm going to be Wimbledon champion, Mum. I'm going to dedicate my life to becoming Wimbledon champion. And the Mum's very American. Okay, Brad. We'll get your rackets and lessons. You go for it, son. English kids, right? Mum. Mum. Wimbledon. Telly. Gonna be a ball boy. And the mum's typically English. Do you think you can do that? I mean, it's not as easy as it looks, you know. I mean, Sampras is practising in the park. Our lads are in the lounge. Mum, chockers and scone. Every year, there's an inquisition. Why don't we produce tennis champions? Do you want to know, folks? This is not rocket science. The reason why we don't produce tennis champions is because we don't play tennis. If you said to someone in this country, right, in February, do you want to go with tennis? What? The only time we play tennis is when Wimbledon's on. It's on telly, you think, oh, look, tennis. We've not played for, since last year's Wimbledon, actually. Let's get down the local court. We'll have a five-set thriller. No, you won't. You're really excited about it. It's not actually to get back onto the court that you remember. You're crap. There's four of you. You got three rackets and a squash racket. You got four tennis balls. Two of which actually are tennis balls. And two of which were tennis balls once. Now they're skinheads. Like professional tennis, the entire game is decided on by the serve, right? Which is the same as park tennis, because the entire game is decided on by double faults. I mean, you can almost receive serve without a racket. You have to just stand there. Out. Game to me, that was tough, didn't even hit it, did I? Come on, chuck us the balls. Well, where are they? We'll nick some of theirs. Get a fluffy one. This is my first serve. I've got another one after this, right? Yeah? I'm going to whack this. I'm going to whack it really hard. Get back. Seriously. I'm going to really whack this. Bounce the ball. Hits your foot. Damn. That wasn't a serve. That's my foot. All right. Throw it up, hit it as hard as you've ever hit anything in your life. Goes over the net, which is a great start. Goes over the back fence. Kills a duck. You get it, it's your side. So another easy job, folks. When you're watching the news, and the newsreader will suddenly say there's been a mudslide in somewhere quite remote from us, like Mogadishu or something. They say, mudslide in Mogadishu. We now cross to our Mogadishu correspondent. And it always amazes me that they had a correspondent there. I mean, do you think they sent that guy there really quickly to become the correspondent? Or was he there on the off chance? I mean, do you think the BBC has got someone everywhere in the world on the off chance? I mean, what a great job that could be.
Hello, BBC News Desk.
Oh, hello, Bebe. Botswana here. Nothing.
I'll tell you another easy job, though, folks. Another easy job. I always think casting director is an easy job, don't you think? Especially in films. You know, imagine being the casting director for American Beauty. We'll have Kevin Spacey and Annette Bening. You'd be home by lunchtime, wouldn't you? It's even easier for sequels. Mission Impossible 2. I thought Tom Cruise did well in the first one. We'll have him again.
Hello, BBC News Desk.
Oh, hello there. It's Guadalajara calling. Nothing.
We don't go to the cinema. The cinema is a massive part of our leisure time. We don't go as often now because we've got the kids. I mean, I've got friends who ask me such annoying questions. And I've got friends who haven't got any kids. They say, oi, Dom, have you seen Mission Impossible 2? Have I seen Mission Impossible 2? Is it on video yet? No, it's not. Well, I haven't seen it then, have I? Actually, it's quite a good idea that we don't go to the cinema anymore. My wife and I used to argue a lot this month. My wife is a very annoying person. Some of you know her. My wife's a very annoying person to go to the cinema with, because what she needs at the cinema is, when you're watching a film, every time a new character in the film appears. What my wife needs is like a box to appear next to the actor's head, telling you all the other films that they've been in. Because I'm sitting there, I'm enjoying the film. I'm following the plot, I'm listening to the dialogue, right? But my wife's next to me going, oh. Oh, Tom. Oh, I know that guy. Who's he? She stopped watching the film. Every time it comes up, him, who's he? That's Tom Cruise. All right, yes. What's happened? Most annoying thing that ever happened to me, LA Confidential. Have you seen that film? Yeah. It's a great film. I was enjoying that film at the cinema. Very convoluted plot. Very intricate. I'm really into it. I'm trying to follow it. Halfway through the film, my wife has turned to me, Tom, I've got it. I've got it. That's Mike from Neighbours. So now we have to hire videos a lot, okay? And it's quite stressful hiring a video, especially on a Saturday night if you go down there about 7 o'clock, because all the Truman shows, the good films, have gone. And you're just faced with a wall full of films you've never heard of. And you can't not get a video if you've committed to getting one. You can't say, should we not get one? It's a very mature decision, no. You're there, so you've got to get one. You argue, well, who's in that one? No, I never heard of them. Well, we'll get your one, but if it's crap, it's your fault, you chose it. I'll tell you a stressful moment. When you get home with your video and you open the box, you take the tape out and the tape is halfway through. Oh, no. That can only mean one of two things. Either the film's rubbish and the person before you decided that it wasn't worth watching. Or there's a really good dirty bit. And the bloke's had a bit of crafty watching later on. He's sitting there with his wife thinking, bloody hell, 52 minutes, that's all right. I'll be up in a sec, love. I'm just putting the cat out. You haven't got a cat. Can I ask you folks, have you ever seen a postman with any sort of urgency about his job? Have you ever seen a postman who looks like he's got first-class mail to deliver? Have you ever seen a postman running, for example? No? Walking quickly, briskly. No? You ever seen a postman on a bike with his head down, bum in the air, pumping really hard? Probably not. But you put them in a van. They go mad in vans. Postmen in vans, they terrorise London, scaring the hell out of all the other drivers. They get out of the van. I am knackered. They turn into Grand Prix drivers. Grand Prix is a bizarre thing. I never understand, you know, in Grand Prix, why the bloke bothers to race from pole position. He's at the front of the grid, right? All the other cars are behind him. Why doesn't he just get a car that's as wide as the track? Like, keep it under wraps until you qualify, clearly. Qualify in an ordinary car. Wait till they've all lined up. Then you come out in a huge combine harvester. Back it onto the track. Beep, beep. No one could overtake. You could do the entire race 20 miles an hour. Second gear, no helmet, just waving. I mean, the most amazing thing about the Formula One is the technology. I mean, most people here drive a car. Your cars take about 50 litres of fuel, okay? And you all know how long it takes to fill them up. In the Formula One, these cars take 150 litres, right? That's three times as much fuel as your average road car. And in the pit lane, they take 8 seconds to fill them up. I was thinking that'd be a nightmare nozzle at the garage, wouldn't it? Just try and get a tenner in here. Poof! Oh no! 1,000 quid? I didn't touch it, just went off! You'd be crapping yourself. You'd have to use another pump slyly and try and get away with it. You'd be in the queue really nervous. All right, mate. Pump 5? Pump 5, sir. £5. Did you use pump 8 beforehand? That's 24 grand. And a penny. I'm not saying I'm rich, folks. I don't like getting a penny. I never know what to do. Now, if ever you buy something for £4.99, I always think, shall I wait for the change? Or will it look sad? Or would it be really patronising? I went, keep the change. I mentioned jobs there earlier, okay? Can anyone think of a more glamorous job than being the Ferrari pit stop team? It's just a cool job, and you go all over the world, all the glamorous spots of the world, basically going around getting a lot of action, because you are Ferrari pit stop. But I feel sorry for the bloke in the team whose job it is to wipe the driver's helmet. How embarrassing must that be for him in clubs? Like, we're in Monte Carlo, there's all these guys, all these models all over these blokes. They go, yeah, I'm a mechanic. Yeah, I'm in the team. I started off working in London. I'm a top mechanic now, and I'm in the team. They go around the whole thing. What do you do, mate? I just rub his helmet, to be honest. I started off as a window cleaner. But what I love about them is the way they take their job so seriously. There's a guy with a wheel waiting for the girl. A guy with a fuel pump. A guy with a wheel. And a guy with a J-cloth. And the car screams to a halt, and our lad does this. Yes. 1.2 seconds. Come on, get the wheels on, you plonkers.
Hello, BBC News Desk.
Oh, BBC, it's Michael Mansfield, Guatemala. Absolutely nout.
The strangest thing in leisure is what people do with their leisure time. Like, some people say going to the gym is leisure time. I mean, millions of people go to Keep Fit. Anyone here go to Keep Fit? It's amazing, isn't it? But surely, before you go to Keep Fit, you should have gone to Get Fit. The worst thing about a gym is joining a gym, because you have to go on an induction. And it's not really an induction. It's more of a humiliation, to be honest. They take you around the gym, and they show you things that you'll never, ever going to use again. This is the stretching area over here. I'm sorry, stretching? No, thank you. I can do that at home. I've got some carpet. Thanks very much. Everyone's working out. You're doing this. Sorry, what will this do? Stretches the muscle, does it? Right, will that make it bigger? No, I'm not doing it then. Women and men are different in the gym. Women in the gym, bums and tums. That's all you. Bums and tums. Blokes, lads, chest and arms. What about legs, mate? No, I'll be wearing jeans. Blokes don't do aerobics. Aerobics, mate? No. What's that do? Lungs? No. I don't need big lungs, do I? I'm not going to pull big lungs. Never been in a nightclub, some girl's going, quite fancy that bloke at the bar. One with the big lungs. I hate aerobics machines. You know, the worst thing about aerobics machines is they've got a calorie meter on them. I'd rather not be told. After 20 minutes of sweating, you're red, you're really upset, you're about to faint, it flashes up at you, 35 calories. What is that, a cup of tea? Oh, lucky me. Tonight I can have an extra cup of tea. Open the front door, put the kettle on, I've been to the gym. I mean, Mars bar, 450 calories, or a month on a step machine. I used to go and watch Brentford play. Every single week, I go and watch Brentford for about 6 years, right? And when I was a kid, we all used to wear the scarves, but it's all changed now, because the fans now, they wear the kit, don't they? Yeah, huge big fat guys turning up in the kit. I often wonder, do you think they do that on the off chance that maybe the team's going to be short?
Your attention, please. Your attention, please. Welcome to Stamford Bridge for this home match, Chelsea versus Manchester United. If I could ask, could the big fat bloke behind the goal, if he could make his way round to the dressing room...
Think they do that in other sports, like in swimming? Huge big fat guys, just speedos. Flip-flops and a robe. Of course, drugs in sport, though, is epidemic proportions, OK? And what the athletes are actually doing now, I don't know if you know this, what they're doing is they're taking the hormones of animals that correspond to their event, OK? So the swimmers now are going with fish hormone, right? But the British went for the wrong fish. Because the Russians, very experienced, right, went for the tuna. Very fast, very direct, gold medal. But the English went for the mussel.
And you join us for the final of the men's 100 metres freestyle. Two lengths of the pool will decide the Olympic champion. Watch out for the Englishman in lane two, Derek Forbes. And they're away first time, with the Russian setting the early pace in lane seven. And oh, what has happened in lane two? The English bloke has stuck to the side of the pool.
Because there's a lot of money in sport. Football, we all know about. But do you know, like, Atto Bolden is the fastest man in the world at the moment, okay? 100 metres, fastest man in the world. Do you know, he's not the brightest bloke in the world, though, because when he races, he gets paid £10,000 a second. And he does the race in 10 seconds. I'm thinking, what are you doing, man? Take an hour. If I was on £10,000 a second, I wouldn't bother with the blocks. I'd go with the school sports day start. Go! Oh, my hamstring. That's terrible, that is. Well, I'm making a bloody fortune here. Loads of money in sport. There's loads of things you can do. I mean, the thing is, though, the sprinters, right, they make a lot of money because they tour the world. They go around the world racing in New York, in Canada, in Australia. And what happens is people go and pay to see them because you want to see the fastest men on earth race. But that can't be the same with all sports. I mean, I can't imagine the world luge champion being able to go around the world.
Hello, New York City Council.
Yeah, hello. I'm Stefan Sorensen, and I represent Magnus Eistofferson, the world luge champion.
The what champion?
The luge champion. Lie on your back, tunnel of ice.
Is that the one where they wear the really tight suit that looks like...
Yes, that is the one. Magnus is Olympic champion, and we would like to race in New York.
Oh, sure, sure. You'll be very welcome. You'll be bringing your own ice slide, I take it.
Yes, Magnus. Magnus, come in.
Have you set up the tour of America like I asked you to?
Yes, well, sort of. We are going to do a tour of America's water parks.
I mean, there's some sports we're not going to do without the luge, okay? Do you know I've exposed a scandal? Do you know, folks, there's not one school in Britain with a luge run? It's to annoy me at school in gym. The teacher would come in, okay, kids, everyone on that side of the gym for football. Everyone that side for running. I'll be in the middle. Dominic, what's the problem? Well, I quite fancy doing the luge. Now, the gymnastics. We've got the Olympic Games coming up, okay, in Sydney. And I was thinking the girls from Britain should use the rules to their advantage. Like in the gymnastics, in the vaulting, you get marked on the order of difficulty. The more difficult vault you do, the more marks you get. And therefore, you've got to tell the judge beforehand what vault you're going to do. I thought the English girls should use that. Got up to the judge. All right, judge, how are you doing? England, I'm in the vaulting tonight. My first vault tonight is going to be a double back somersault, ending up with a wobble. And a wobble's actually planned. In fact, if you could put wobble stroke four, I could even fall tonight, I don't know. I watched the skating on telly, right? And I'm not trying to be crude, okay, but I'm just being honest. You know the doubles? I can't watch the doubles without wondering whether they've shagged or not. That is all I want to know. I think the commentator should tell you.
As the Russian couple take to the ice, Katerina Nikolopoulos and Nikolai must have a crap. Been skating together for 8 years now. They aren't going out, but I can tell you that on three occasions they have, in fact, porked.
Oh, come on, don't tell me you've not wondered about Torvald and Dean. Who here has not wondered about Torvald and Dean? Every time Torvald and Dean are interviewed, I'm thinking, go on, ask them. If I ever had to interview Torvald and Dean, not that I ever would, but listen, I couldn't resist it. So, Chris and Jane, you've been together now 20 years. Been around the world together, haven't you? Must have stayed in hotels. Must have got lonely. Who shagged?
Hello, BBC News Desk.
Yeah, hi. Monte Carlo calling. Yeah, have I got news? You betcha. I've only gone and pulled that Swedish bird I was telling you about.
The Small World of Dominic Holland was written and performed by Dominic Holland, with Sally Grace, Simon Greenall and Dave Lamb. Music was by Jim Howard, and the producer was Maria Esposito.